Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, starting from verse 12.
Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
Okay, last week we learned God called his children from Egypt. They were sick, afflicted, but when they came out with the silver and gold, and not a single person was feeble among any tribes. So we learned last week a little bit that God can heal us and give us physical blessings. But today we want to turn a little bit to spiritual side. The Word of God says your hands are hanging down and your knees are feeble. So he's trying to say, make a path, straight path for your feet. God wants us to go straight, following Lord Jesus Christ, not to go astray. When the people commit sin, they have no spiritual strength. If you remember that Belshazzar, the king, when he committed sin and party and liquor and everything, and when the handwriting came on the wall, his knees were shaking and he was so afraid. So point I'm making, when the sin comes in our lives, we have no strength, no desire to come to God. That's why people run away from God, do not have desire to go to church, do not have desire to pray or worship the Lord. So the Word of God is saying, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be rather be healed. So he said, we want spiritual healing. Physical healing is important, but the spiritual healing is much more important than the physical healing. People can be strong and healthy, and if they are living in sin, they might go to hell. So the Word of God is saying, when we are living in this world, there are so many kinds of temptations and trials to pull us down. And the devil doesn't want us to go straight. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, it says, there is one road or one way looks so nice and so straight and so beautiful, but the end of it is what? The death.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
The road seems right to you. I'm going okay. I'm all right. Nothing wrong with me. You go on the street and ask people, what do you think? Are you living good life? Do you think you can go to heaven? 99% people will tell you, yes, we are okay. We are going to go to heaven. But Jesus Christ said, the broader the way leads to the hell, the narrow way leads to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ says, follow me. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. And without me, no one can go to heaven. So the Word of God is saying, we have to think always about our spiritual life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. So most important thing is spiritual life. If your spiritual life is not straight, if your spiritual life is not right, you are not only trouble for yourself, but you are troublemaker for others. Some people do something wrong and they think, you know, this is my life and nobody can tell me what to do, what not to do. And sometimes they go to prison, their family suffers. Sometimes they do something wrong and the family has to take the burden. So the Word of God is saying, our spiritual life is right, then we will have peace about everything. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Now see, after these 12 and 13 verse, 14th verse is saying, follow peace. Now just think, we just read this, follow peace. Now somebody says, I don't know where the peace is. How am I going to follow the peace? There is only one peacemaker, or only one, the Prince of Peace, is Jesus Christ. If you follow Jesus Christ, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have peace in your heart. Devil doesn't give you peace. Devil is a troublemaker. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. In the world, there is no peace. But in Jesus Christ, we have peace. So he says, follow peace with all men. When you have peace, you will have peace to deal with other people. The troublemakers, the Word of God says, the sinful people, they are troublemakers like a troubled sea. They always make trouble. Even in the school, they are calling bullies. For no reason, they want to make a trouble to some other children. And there are some people, they cannot keep quiet. They just keep on killing, destroying for no reason. Other day, I heard one crazy man took a knife and went to daycare center and killed the babies and little children for no reason. They found out he's a crazy man. But point I'm making, if you have no peace, you don't want other people living in peace. And that's what the people are doing. That's what the Word of God is saying. If you are born again, child of God, you should not be troublemaker. Child of God always wants to be peace with your neighbor, with your family member, with your church member, or anyone. Even though you don't know that person. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 to 21, if you read, it says, if it is possible, have peace with everyone.
If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Okay. Now he says, if it is possible. And somebody said, it is not possible. I tried everything, and the Word of God says, if it is possible, then you be peace with all men. Then somebody says, it is impossible. We cannot have peace with everyone. But the Word of God says you should have peace with your brothers. You should have peace with your wife. We should have peace with everyone. Let's read in Matthew chapter 5 and starting from verse 22. It says, if you're angry with your brother, the Word of God says you will be judged.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
Can you imagine just telling your brother without any fighting, and that person is minding his business, and you trying to tell him, thou fool? The Word of God says you are going to go to hellfire. You don't have to kill your brother. Just tell your brother you are a fool and you will go to hell. Read following words.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift.
So he says, go to your brother, have a friendship, ask forgiveness, forgive him, have a good relationship, and then come to me and give your gift. So the Word of God is saying it is very important to have good brotherly love among you. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, here is talking about the husband and wife. If you are a husband and wife, and you go to church, you fight with your wife, she doesn't want to come to church, You try to force her and she doesn't come, and then you give her a kick and come to church and praise the Lord. The word of God says, oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to listen to your prayer. Please read. 1 Peter chapter 3, start reading from verse 7.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Okay, now here he's saying, husband and wife is a one body, one person. When you go to church and you don't take your wife to church if she's sick, that's okay. But the husband has a responsibility to go to church. When you're praying, don't think that your children are busy or they are sleeping and let them sleep and then we pray so we will have quiet time. Don't do that. If children cry, let them cry in the prayer. They will get used to it and you will have the family prayer. Otherwise, if you fight with your wife or husband and then you go alone, say, Lord, I have a lot of problem. I'm going to come alone to you and I'm going to tell my problems. The word of God says, I'm not going to listen to your prayer. Because if you fight with your husband or wife, God cannot answer our prayers. The word of God is saying, if we want to live a peaceful life and we want to live a godly life, then what you do? 1 Peter chapter 1, start reading from verse 15 and 16.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
See, each and every situation, the word of God says, try to live a complete holy life. And here is saying in this 14th verse, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So what God wants, the holiness. If our heart is condemning us, we have no confidence towards God. When we commit sin, our heart troubles us. So what do? Repent. Ask God to forgive. Wash with his precious blood. And then the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away all your unrighteousness and make you clean and holy in the sight of God. Without holiness, we cannot see the Lord. We cannot please God. We cannot come to the presence of God. First thing when we commit sin, first thing when you sit in the presence of God, ask forgiveness and then ask other things. Otherwise, our prayer will not be answered. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 15.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God. You got saved by the grace of God. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get saved. Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. And salvation doesn't come with the silver and gold. The word of God says, not with the silver and gold, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved. The worldly people trying to give millions of dollars, going to their holy places. And sometimes you see many people go there and die. In India, there are so many millions of people go to Ganges River believing that their sin will be forgiven. But many people die every year. And the water is so polluted. And the people take that water in their mouth and put it on their body and take a shower and come back and get sickness and disease. And so the word of God is saying, our salvation came freely. Ephesians chapter 2, and if you read from verse 1 to 8, the word of God says we were sinners. But because of the grace of God and the mercy of God, God has saved us. So once you are saved, a child of God, then your responsibility to keep your life pure and holy. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the word of God says, now you are the temple of the living God. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Here is the word of God is saying, do not defile your life with a corruptible or sinful thing. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, it says, if you do sinful thing, you are defiling the temple of the living God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 and 20, it says, we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he says, glorify God with your body, soul, and spirit. That is our duty. Once we are born again, children of God, we should be thankful to God that he has saved us, washed us, cleansed us, we have belonged to him, and keep this vessel clean all the time. Do not allow the enemy to defile it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
Now here is given the story about Esau. Instead of saying simply Esau, he said this Esau was a bad person, fornicator. Esau and Jacob, they were twin brothers. They were born in the same day. But the Jacob, everybody says bad about Jacob because he's a deceiver. He took the birthright from his brother and he's a bad person. But actually, Bible never condemned Jacob. Why he saying he was a fornicator? When you read in a book of Genesis, chapter 25 and last two verses, he married unsaved woman. Not only one, many. He even married Ishmael's daughter. And the word of God says when he got married to those ladies, they did not approve. They did not want this man to living like this. One day he went for hunting and did not get anything. And he was so tired and weary. And he comes and his brother is cooking a lentil. The red lentil soup. And maybe good smell, good color. And he looks at it and he says, give me that. His brother said, well, I'm not going to give you that easy. You are an elder brother, I'm a younger brother, and you're going to be blessed, and everything is, daddy is going to give it to you. But if you give me your birthright, I'll give it to you, this porridge or this soup. Now just think this man, how his mentality was. He was not looking for future. He was not looking for his blessings. He was looking at his feet. Means, I don't care what happened in the future. Right now I'm hungry. I need right now. Just like we are people, instant. Everything instant, coffee, instant breakfast, instant everything I want. And that's why we have more problem. We have no patience. So this man said, I want right now, give me food. Who cares about the birthright? And he took the food and ate it. And the word of God says he lost his birthright. Then what happens? His father tells him, now you go and for hunting and get something for me. And when you cook that deer meat, give it to me and I'll bless you. Here Jacob's mother heard it and she said, okay, you go and get a goat or lamb and I'm going to cook the way your daddy likes the food, and he's going to bless you. He said, Mom, I'm not Esau. He has a hairy hand and he smells different, and I'm going to get cursed. She said, if you get cursed, that curse come on me. But you're not going to get cursed. Some kind of disguise him, gave some smell like Esau, and he went and got a bless. Now, many people are thinking that Jacob deceived his father. That's why he got blessed. Let's read the word 16.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Now see, when you listen this, you feel sorry about this Esau. This man cried with the tears, and he said, Daddy, could you bless me more? You have only one blessing. You bless my brother. He cheated me. He took my birthrights. And now he's taking my blessings. His father didn't say anything. His father is supposed to say to him, you sold your birthright. Now whoever the oldest person, that's the person supposed to be blessed. But he didn't say anything. He said, whatever he blessed his son Jacob, he just explained to him and he cried and cried. Now crying sounds so depressing. But the crying is not repentance. People cry when they make some mistakes. So the repentance is not doing again and change of heart. But this man, Esau, cried and cried to convince his dad, but his heart was not right with God. Let's read Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. And you figure it out, is this a repentance or what?
And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
Now what is he trying to say? I am going to kill my brother Jacob. That is not repentance. So when he wants to kill his brother, do you think his father is going to say, okay, I'm going to bless you? No. He did not repent, but he just wanted to kill his brother. That's the reason, even though he cried, he did not get blessings. You have to say, Lord, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to forgive that my brother, because I did foolish things. I lost my birthright. That's the reason God blessed him. And that was not only birthright. God knows your future end from the beginning. When Jacob and Esau, they were in mother's womb, that's the time God told the mother. So she knew from the beginning, she's not doing anything wrong. Jacob is not doing anything wrong. It's already God provided that way. Esau, from the beginning, he start doing adultery, fornication, and he start bothering mother and father. Jacob is unmarried. And he's a God-fearing man. Father heard that Esau is going to kill his brother. He called the Jacob and he did not say anything wrong. You cheated me. You took his blessing. Nothing. He said, I'm going to bless you. And whoever blesses you, you'll be blessed. And he blessed him and he sent him away. Go to your mother's brother, means your uncle's place, and get married from there. Don't do it like Esau did. So he was happy about Jacob, but he was not happy about Esau. That's why Esau did not get the blessing. So the word of God is saying we should not be like Esau. Why? What is the lesson from here? Esau looked for the temporarily physical blessing. Looking at the worldly thing, looking at the food. Do you know, in the Garden of Eden, they had all kinds of fruits, right? But the devil comes and shows another fruit, forbidden fruit. And he says to the Eve, her name was not Eve in that time, Adam. He said, look at this fruit. And she started looking at it, and she said, this fruit is much better than any other fruit. And this fruit can make me wise. And this is a good fruit. And she got tempted and took that fruit. Read the 1 John chapter 2 and start reading from verse 15. The word of God says, these are the three temptations comes to everyone. Came to Adam, came to Christ, and it will come to you. But we have to get victory. Please read.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
See, if you love the world more than God, that means you do not have love for God. People are loving money more than God. They love their wife and children more than God. They love their games more than God. And so people are putting other things first. But the word of God says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Okay, verse 16.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
What is in the world? Lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the three things people are after. Whatever they see, they want it. Whatever they see, they wanted to eat. And they want to be better than anybody else. And all these things, the word of God is saying, this is not from the Father. This is all from the world. Verse 17.
And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
See, this world is going to pass. Whatever you have, beautiful car, beautiful house, everything what you have, that will be passing away. But the kingdom of God is for eternal. So we have to learn to follow the Lord, not the worldly thing. That's what the word of God says. Do not be like Esau, because he was a bad person and he destroyed his spiritual blessings. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 18.
For ye are not come unto the mount that it might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more.
Now here is saying, we gave the story about Esau, gave the story about the worldly thing, and how the world is perishing. God has called us with a definite high calling. God has a plan for you and for me. Now, if you remember, we started studying this book of Hebrews, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. And all these chapters we read and we studied, we learned that our life, spiritual life, is better than the Old Testament saints. Why? Because we learned that they were washed with the blood of bulls and goats. We are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are much more blessed than them. We just read last week before, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40. Please read. It says that God has kept us something better than those people.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
They had a good report. When you read the Hebrews chapter 11, you know how much troubles and trials and tribulation they went through. But the word of God says they had a good report, they had a good faith, but they did not receive the promise. Verse 40.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
God has provided something better than the Old Testament people. The word of God said they should not be perfected without us. Because we are called the bride of Christ. And the Old Testament people are called the friend of God. Even the Abraham was called the friend of God. So the word of God is saying, we did not come to the mountain where the Moses got the Ten Commandments. And he is saying that situation of that mountain was so horrible. There was darkness and lightning and thunder. And people were standing at the foot of the mountain. And the commandment was given, do not touch the mountain. If anyone touches the mountain, that person should be killed. And so it was so horrible situation. And those people start saying, we don't want to hear God. Moses, please talk to us. Go to the Exodus chapter 20, start reading from verse 18 to 22.
And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven.
When the people heard the voice of God, they said, Moses, we don't want to hear the voice of God. You just speak to us. And the word of God says, Moses also was so scared that something will happen to my people. And he was so afraid, the word of God is saying. Chapter 12, and starting from 19.
And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight, that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake.
Now can you imagine? Here was the sight is given. The children of Israel, they were scared. Moses was scared. Here God is giving them commandments. And God is speaking to those people, and they were so much afraid of God and afraid of his voice. So the word of God is saying, we do not come to that kind of mountain. Our God is love. Our God is a good God. So he has brought us to a better place. Let's read the verse 22. Hebrews 12:22.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Now here, let me go a little bit slowly. We are come unto the Mount Zion. Now you heard many people are telling Israeli people, Zionist. Ye are come unto the Mount Zion, the worldly Mount Zion. No, go to the book of Revelation. Chapter 14, verse 1.
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
We have come to the Mount Zion. It's not on earth, but in heaven. And 144,000 chosen people of God, these are not the 144,000 Israeli Jews, which is recorded in Revelation chapter 7. These are the separate people, the children of God, the bride of Christ, following Jesus Christ wherever he goes. And we are come to the Mount Zion. And then he says, unto the city of living God. Now, city of living God is not on earth, is in heaven. So here he's saying, we have come to the Mount Zion, we have come to the city of living God, we have come to heavenly Jerusalem, and then he says, innumerable company of angels. Now, can you imagine, many people you might have heard, prophetic preachers and teachers, they will tell you, you know what, this world is not going to vanish away. Because here he's saying, you did not come to the ordinary city, you have come to the heavenly city, heavenly Jerusalem. That's in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. He said, that is the heavenly city. And then he says, the angels. So he said, you have come to the company of angels. Now angels, you don't see thousands of angels on earth. When Jesus Christ was born, the heavenly host of angels came and announced the birth of Christ. And where did they go? After the announcement, they went to heaven. So the angels, they live where the Father lives, where the Son lives, and they are in heavenly places. A heavenly Jerusalem. He did not say worldly Jerusalem. If you go and read the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, he said the heavenly Jerusalem, not the worldly Jerusalem. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Now see where we are coming. He said, the General Assembly and the church in heaven. And he says, that church is the firstborn, means born again church, not the ordinary church. Many people are thinking all the churches will go to heaven. No, all churches will go to heaven. No, all churches have the bride of Christ. Only born again, children of God, living a holy life, filled with the power of God, Holy Spirit, and seal of the Holy Spirit, those people are called the bride of Christ. So he says, we are come to that heavenly church with a born again church. And he says, which are written in heaven. Once you are born again, child of God, your name is written in heaven. And there are three books. One book is just called the book. Another book is called Book of Life. Another book is called Lamb's Book of Life. Anybody say, oh, my name is in a book. We don't want in an ordinary book. The one book's names are written, whatever you do, or good or bad, those people's name are there. There is another book called the Book of Life. And those people are all Old Testament people. The person who received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the Old Testament people, their name is in the Book of Life. Ordinary people's name in the book. And the church believers' names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he says, we have come to the righteous judge is in heaven. And then he said, and to the spirit of just man made perfect. Once we go there, they will be perfected. Okay, let's read the verse 24.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
See, where we have come, he said, and we have come to Jesus Christ, who is the mediator, and who has washed us with his blood and made a new covenant, and his blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. Where is Jesus Christ? He's in heaven. So we are going to go to heaven and we are going to be with the Lord. He says Jesus Christ's blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. And we already learned in the earlier chapter that the blood of Abel was asking revenge, but the blood of Jesus Christ asked forgiveness. And so we have come to the heavenly place, not the earthly place. Hebrews 12:25.
See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth? How much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven?
Now here's the saying, Jesus Christ speaks forgiveness. But he says, don't take advantage that Jesus Christ is forgiving you all the time. Jesus Christ has washed us one time by his precious blood. Now we are belong to him. Now once you are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, we have to be purged and we have to be staying in the blood of Jesus Christ to be holy all the time. But if you reject Christ and follow the devil, then he says, the same Jesus who was speaking good things, but the same Jesus will be judging you. So the word of God is saying, in the olden time, if the person does something wrong, they need only one or two people's witness and they should be put to death. So he says, how much more you should be afraid that Jesus Christ is the righteous God and he will be judging you righteously. Verse 26.
Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven.
Now here again, many people, when they read the Peter's book, they said, you know, God is going to renovate this world, and the world will be renewed. The word of God says, no, I'm not talking about renewing. The word of God is saying, I'm telling you, the world is going to be shaken. called Noah's time, the world was drowned and the whole world was destroyed. Now the people are thinking, oh, only people got destroyed, but the earth was still the same. Here the word of God is saying, I'm not talking about this earth or this world will be remained. Now if you read, he says, those voice then shook the earth, but now he had promised saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heavens. That means he's not talking where the God lives. That God lives, that heaven, nobody can shake it. But the earthly heaven and earth is going to be shaken. And so the word of God is saying that the time has come that this world is going to be shaken. And so that's what he's trying to say in verse 27. And this world, yet once more, signifies that removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What does it mean? He says the things are going to be shaken, they will be shaken, be destroyed, but the things are not going to be shaken, those things will remain. Now, which things are going to be shaken and destroyed, and which things will be remain? Only heaven, where the God lives, where the angel lives, where Jesus Christ went to prepare a place for us, those things will remain. But this world is going to be destroyed. Let's go to the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and 14.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
See, now the Peter is saying, if somebody says, oh, this world is going to be renewed and we are going to stay in this world, this verse will tell you, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth the righteousness. And read the following words.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Now, here he's saying, if you want to go to that new heaven, then you have to be holy and go into eternal kingdom. And so come back to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and read the verse 28. It says, therefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Just like St. Peter said. So here is saying we are going to receive the kingdom. That kingdom cannot be moved, cannot be shaken. So we have to stay in the grace of God, serving the Lord, so we will be there forever. And that's the kind of kingdom we are looking for. The last words, if you read, he says, for our God is consuming fire. Why he is saying like that? Up to now, we know our God is love. But now he's saying our God is consuming fire because he said, if you don't listen to the word of God, if you go astray like Esau and look at the worldly thing, this world is going to be destroyed, then you are going to be consumed with the fire. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31, it says, it is a horrible thing to fall in the hands of God. Our God is a good God, but at the same time, he is a righteous judge. He says, it is fearful things to fall into the hands of the living God. Why is fearful? Because our God is a consuming fire. So he has given us time to repent, prepare. Don't be confused. Don't be get fooled with somebody's preaching, telling you, don't you worry. This world is going to be all right. And this world will never vanish. So you know what people are doing? They are going in the mountains. And they are going in the caves. And they have some kind of non-perishable food. And they're thinking, okay, if that's the way, if Jesus Christ takes the bride, And then 7 years after that he comes back. So we have to just escape 7 years in the cave or somewhere, and then we will be in the millennium, and after millennium we are not going anywhere. So we will be living on earth. It's not going to be that way. It's just saying this world will be shaken, will be destroyed. You have to read in the book of Revelation chapter 20, book of Revelation chapter 21, this world will be completely destroyed. And we are going to have a new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. That's what we are going. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us warning that if we live our life like Esau, looking at the worldly thing and getting the worldly thing and thinking this world is not going to vanish away, then we will be going in eternal judgment. So, Lord, give us grace to repent. Keep our life holy, because your word says our God is a holy God and he has called us with a definite calling, so we should follow him. You have given us better promises than the Old Testament people, even though they suffered a lot. But Lord Jesus, you have given us grace to follow you. We are not going to go astray, but we are going to follow you. No matter what problem comes, but we are going to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. We just learned in this book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So we are going to have faith in Jesus Christ. We are going to be thankful that we are saved by grace of God, and we are not going to turn away from the love of God, because our God is love. The same time, our God is a consuming fire. So give us grace, O Lord Jesus, to follow you and no turning back. We commit our lives into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.